Greetings. We have returned once again. I'm Stan.
And I'm Scott. It's good to be back with you.
It is. And we're quite frankly, still learning how to do this. And we'll be glad for any feedback that you all might have. But
yeah, I was hoping you wouldn't say, we'll be glad when this is over. Something like that. You start to say, you'll be glad, and then you pause for just a moment. So, no, I know that's not what you mean.
Nope. Anyway, we're glad to keep sharing with one another and inviting you all to be a part of this conversation.
And we've done videos, so you can't see us smiling right now, but we're having fun. We like joking with each other and doing this together, and we're glad that you join us.
Yeah, very much so. So, let me pray, Scott, and then I will give an overview, won't I?
Yeah, and prayer. Yeah,
yeah. I'll pray that give overview.
Sounds good.
We'll look at the passage.
Okay.
Lord, as we do share with one another, we pray that you're in our midst and that we can learn from one another, but that also we can learn from you and gain insight or even enlightenment from you. So as we deal with Luke's gospel, once again, may you be present with us. This we ask most sincerely in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So today then, Scott, we're going to be looking at Luke 6, verses 27 to 42.
Mm-hmm. Stan, also the notes we said last week, where you find the podcast, which typically is on the Saturday morning email that comes out from CPC, should be there. When you get into the podcast, you should be able to click on the notes as well. And again, we're still learning this, but that is what we are told by those smarter than we, so smarter than us. So, okay.
Yes,
go ahead. Indeed. Sorry.
All right. In terms of overview, and we don't simply mean to be repetitive, but I think it, on the other hand, does help. You and I, Scott, have been very much taken by the first four verses in chapter one of Luke.
Yeah.
Which Luke indicates that he's given a careful, orderly eyewitness account. And so as we have been working through Luke's gospel since September, we have recognized that there is an orderliness about how Luke has written, how he's put it together, mm-hmm. And we can benefit from that. So in the first section, if you will, of his gospel, and by the way, it's well for us to remember, originally there were never any chapters or verses.
Right.
So that came much later. So as Luke then was writing, a first section then is a contrast, or if that's not the right word, a parallel development between Jesus and John.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the foretelling of John's birth, then we get the foretelling of Jesus' birth. Then we get John being born and named, then we get Jesus being born and named. And mm-hmm. so that takes us really through chapters 1 and 2 of Luke's gospel, the end of chapter 2 being Jesus in the temple, however, at age 12. Then Luke moves us back, or moves us into John's ministry, starting with chapter 3, verse 1, and it is a ministry very much of baptism, and Jesus is there.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus and John is calling the crowds and those coming out as vipers. So that's in play. But then, starting with verse 21 of chapter 3, we now really move into the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and that's mm-hmm. the rest of Luke's gospel. Then, and so mostly John disappears, but he is important as one who prepared the way. And that's significant, whether in Luke or Matthew, Mark, and John
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, Luke 3, 21, beginning of Jesus' ministry. He is baptized somewhere around the year 28, 29 A.D. Luke then gives us his genealogy that he traces all the way back through Adam. Following that, Jesus then has his encounter out in the desert, with the evil one. He's tempted. Out of that temptation, he then returns to Galilee, specifically to Nazareth, where he was raised.
Yeah.
But there in Nazareth, he is rejected. And so he then moves down to the Sea of Galilee, and in essence, Capernaum becomes his headquarters.
mm-hmm.
if we can use that language. He then has clearly a ministry that has to deal with healing, and he calls in the beginning of chapter 5 his first disciples. Beginning with verse 12 of chapter 5, through a good portion of chapter 6, or the beginning portion of chapter 6, then we have a number of incidents where he's in conflict with the religious leaders.
Yeah.
So he heals a leper, he heals a paralytic, he calls Levi. Then there are questions about fasting, there are questions about his disciples eating grain on the Sabbath and rubbing it in their hands. And all of those, primarily all of those incidents, have to do with a rising escalation of conflict with the religious leaders.
Yeah.
So much so that finally the religious leaders are out of their heads.
Yeah, we said a couple of weeks ago, and this I think it's towards the end of chapter 5, isn't it, Stan, that they were threatened. And I think one of the questions was, well, why did they feel threatened? Kind of what we talked about in worship. Pastor Jerry talked a couple of Sundays ago in worship. It was threatened to how they viewed God, how they saw God, and like the threatening of the Sabbath. That this is what made them unique and different as Jewish people, was to take the Sabbath, and it became an icon to them, perhaps.
Very much so.
So and so that religious rules, those laws, were something that made them different and special. And so he's even threatening that, how they viewed God. And who is this guy anyway?
Very much so. And we will find, however, and this is part of the rub that I at least struggle with, is that that on the one hand, we can set the religious leaders, or people like you and me, frankly, and say, what was wrong with those people? Why were they so hung up on their laws and legalism and all that? But as we keep, even as we did last week, as we keep working through that, though, Jesus has some very tough things to say about how we are to live.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry recently raised the question about Sabbath. Well, how, is just Sunday just another day for us?
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to that Jewish understanding, this was to be a holy day, a day truly of rest, set aside to be present with God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, all right. It was not a new struggle then. It's not a new struggle now. So how do we put these things together?
Yeah.
That is, how do we understand grace and truth?
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's in play.
Good, good.
And so last week then we saw that he called 12, and then he begins to direct himself to his disciples on what we might call the Sermon on the Plain or the Sermon on the Level place.
Yep, yep.
And that's where we are. So we're in the middle of that sermon. I mean, that's the word we use.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Latin word that simply means word or message.
Okay.
It's a Latin word that is comparable to the Greek word logos.
Yeah, and I might even think it's more like teaching. It sounds like when we read this part in Luke 7, starting at verse 17.
Yeah, very true.
You know?
I mean, teaching about, well, how are we to live?
Teaching how. So that word or whatever, that good word that comes out. Okay. Ready to move on?
Sure.
Okay. So Stan's giving us great context overall, and the context is always important to understand. So today, again, we're at Luke 27 through verse 42. So not a real long passage again, but it's in the middle of this part of the Sermon on the Plain, on the level place, I think that it says in 6:17. So starting at 27, Jesus gives some instruction about how to live. And really this part of 27 through 36, we were kind of talking before we went on the air, before we started to record, is love dominates. Love really dominates this chunk of passage, this 10 verses or so. I want to read verses 27 through 29. I chose the NIV today. Here's what it says. This is Jesus talking. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do for you. I did read through 31 there. I thought it was good and kind of continuous to get through there. But Stan, he talks about loving your enemies, very important. Do good to those who hate you. I was reading somewhere else about treating well, and well, in your notes, treating well the haters, which made me think of what do haters do? Haters gonna hate. That's a quote from Taylor Swift. If you're a T-Swift fan, which I know Stan is, Taylor Swift fan.
Yes, I'm conversant with all of that.
There you go. Taylor Swift says haters gonna hate, but we gotta treat those haters well. We've gotta love those who hate you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, you can turn the other cheek. Stan, and then I'd love for you to maybe take a shot at this. That we give both our garment and our tunic, or in the NIV, to give your cloak and your tunic. And the garment would be your outer garment. The tunic could be underneath that. Could it be the undergarment? And so it's a little curious, you know, is there something left underneath that if you give both the garment and the tunic?
Yes, and I have tried to track this through. And in Matthew's gospel, it's the reverse order of what you give away. And so I frankly have not come to any exactly satisfying understanding, but the word that we have for garment is the, not that it really helps, but hematian is the word for garment, okay. Whereas the word for tunic is the word keton, and it would seem that the keton, tunic, is underneath, whereas the word for garment is an outer garment. So in my imagination, at least, there's the sense that you have an outer robe and an inner robe.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And one commentator I noted was suggesting that a poor person must always be able to have his or her outer robe, presumably the hematian, the garment, whereas the inner robe or the tunic then perhaps can be given away.
Okay.
So I don't think, I mean, Jesus can at times speak in parables, but in hyperbole, exaggerating in order to make his point. But I don't think he's saying, you know, just give all your clothes away and walk around without any clothing.
Yeah. I mean, when you said the hyperbole, it's speaking as an example of what you are to do. You're to go the extra miles is another way, you know, another kind of parable to say. It's to do even more than you're asked. This is what... It's the way of Jesus that will make a difference to others. You know, do more than they expected. Love more. Love those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. These are things, it's like the upside down kingdom. It's like turning things upside down.
Yes.
It's doing more than is expected out of love. So I think that whole passage is about love.
Well, and what others do to you so that... Mm. None of us wants to be hated, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah.
The word can be used there, love your enemies. Ekthros is the word at its heart is the word hate. Love those, your enemies. I mean, you and I, if I were to ask you, do you have any enemies?
Maybe. Should I name them on the podcast? Probably not. Oh,
go ahead.
No. I don't know that I really do. Stand
well, I, you know, we Americans tend to think, oh, no, we don't have any enemies. And that's kind of this cultural, well, and certainly we pastor types, surely we don't have anybody that would be at enmity with us.
Yeah.
You know, well, love those who hate me, who curse me, who slander me.
Well, then he goes back to, again, verses 32 through 36. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? What benefit? You know, even sinners do that. If you do the good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expect to be repaid in full. So instead, we are to be merciful just as your Heavenly Father is merciful. We're to love or to lend without expecting anything in return. And that's that kind of unconditional love that is different.
And we are then to be children of the King, if you will. And this is how if I take this seriously and I try to, that, in my own life, how much have I been given?
Yeah.
How much of, you know, how much has just in terms of the gift of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and so if we love like that, if we are grateful and thankful, then we are like sons of the Most High. He says we are being merciful just as the Father.
Yeah, and that's what merciful. You know. And I think in broad strokes, that's where we need to go.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem then is if I just leave it in broad strokes and then I don't really follow through. You know,
right.
How do I respond if somebody is
right? I'll take a moment to tell you a story which I love. Which I actually saw this again recently. Tony Campolo, who was a big figure, Christian figure in the 1980s and 90s, probably for the most part, speaker, writer, author, minister, writer and author are the same thing that I said there. But he told a story that he was teaching at the university level, and he had doctoral students, one who was brilliant and the other one who was a good student but not as brilliant, and they were roommates. The one who was brilliant was an atheist. The one who was not so brilliant was a Christian. And Tony Campolo said that he was very upset because he thought the atheist would convert the Christian because the atheist was so brilliant and smart and good at arguing. And he said after several months, he asked the I'm shortening the story a little bit. He asked the Christian, what happened? And he said, well, my roommate became a Christian. He said, how? He said, didn't you lose arguments? Yeah, I lost arguments, but I kept loving him. And I kept just showing him God's love. And he couldn't overcome that he saw God's love in the way that I treated him. And he said this was a true story. So, but it's a great kind of metaphor. You know, we love people no matter how they treat us.
Yep.
This is the way of God.
Well, and finally, that's how all of us come into the kingdom anyway.
Right, right.
As much as you and I might give credence to argumentation and logic and reason, which is important, there's no question about it, but finally it's going to be that love that's going to make the difference.
Yeah.
So you did very well then, moving us, you know, if you love those who are just like you, expecting to be repaid in the same manner, which we, frankly,
we do.
You know, I might invite you out to lunch, and I don't know that I have exactly in my mind that you're going to invite me out to lunch, but there's a reciprocity that's
in play. Yeah, I
think so,
out of, what do you call it, politeness, I think, and kind of American culture, typically you would do that, so yeah. If we move on, I think what's a kind of a corollary to this, but not exactly, is verses 37, 38. Do not judge, or you will be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. So there's this sense of, part of loving is not judging. It's not condemning someone else. It's to be more like Jesus, to give things away. And if you do these things, as a good measure pressed down and shaken together will be poured into your lap. It will be measured to you.
And so I think that's an important line. Again, we cannot be seen, but at this moment now I'm pointing a finger at you, and it's that old, one finger is being, or maybe two, pointed at you, but three are coming back towards me. And so that's that same idea that most of us, whatever our standard of what is right and wrong, will be measured against us. And most of us, otherwise, then we will begin to use that understanding of being hypocritical. How we judge others, we will be judged the same way, and often we judge ourselves similarly. So if I say, you shouldn't wear a gray fleece.
Yeah.
And I make
which is what I've got on today. Go ahead. Thanks, Stan. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
If that becomes my rule, well, then what happens when I someday then have a gray fleece?
Right, right. It comes
back
at
that's, you. That's what begins to I mean, people will misquote this, particularly from Matthew's gospel, but judge not lest you be judged. Well, and so the line is, well, you shouldn't judge me. Well, no, that's not what Jesus is saying. What he's saying is the standard that you used to judge others will be applied to you. And we make judgments all the time.
Right, right. We do. Yeah, absolutely.
We wake up in the morning. Well, what am I going to wear? Yeah. What am I going? Those are all judgments. So I don't need to launch off on that, but that's where he's going. So,
right. It's good. Similarly, you get down to this last part, 39 through 42, verse 41. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, so it's not even a speck of dust anymore. It's a plank. Again, to look at yourself first. Don't judge others. Be more like Jesus in that sense. I was remembering, Stan, earlier today that, you know, when Jesus called Matthew to follow him, that then he went and ate with the tax collectors and quote-unquote sinners. That's who he wanted to be with. That's who the sick need a doctor. That's who Jesus wanted to be with.
And I think that, again, I don't think I'm speculating here, but I think that Jesus was magnetic in people who were like tax collectors and prostitutes and so forth were attracted to him because of his love, the very kind of thing that we're seeing here. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's seeking to communicate. So that he didn't move in, my point is that he didn't move into those social settings judging folk.
Right.
Whereas I know myself well enough that I can do that very thing. I did take a moment.
Go ahead, please.
And we've heard this before, and I think the translation you had was speck, and it really is just a little speck.
Okay, yeah.
A sliver, a shaving from some wood. The other word, dokos, is the word that then some translations has it as plank. But I did a little work on that, and it can be a beam, literally, in a house.
Okay.
You know, or in a truss.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, we're not talking about just a little piece of wood.
Yeah.
And people like me probably have far too often overworked this. I mean, we have Jesus humor.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous. How can you have, you can't have a beam in your eye.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jesus knew that. I'm sure those who first heard this laughed, saying, oh, this is, you know, yeah. And if you have a beam, a log, that word can also mean log, there's no way you can even see anybody, let alone try to take something out of their own eye.
Right.
But he ends it by saying, get rid of the log in your own eye and then take care of the speck in your brother or sister's eye. So it is not that we cannot help one another.
Yes.
But first we need to deal with our own.
Right. Yeah, I think I've had friends who've talked about Alcoholics Anonymous, and they talk about when they are experiencing sobriety.
Okay.
And they're really trusting in, they would call higher power. I have one friend who would say he's trusting in Jesus. Then he is able to help others because of what he has been through and is coming out of to help them in their walk. I think that's maybe a similar thing. Yeah.
Well, and we've used this image before. It strikes me, we are always beggars showing others where bread is.
Exactly. Yeah.
We don't cease being beggars.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
And so it's, again, that same kind of thing. If I see myself as a beggar, then I'm going to treat people differently.
Yep. So let's go on to the key words and then our questions, if we would.
Why don't we've talked about dokos, the beam or log. We talked about karphos, the word for speck. So maybe we move on to questions. Is that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Here's a number one question.
Okay.
Have you ever been hated? If so, how do you understand Jesus' words? If not, how do you understand his words? Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about that. And it's what does it mean if I do not think I have been hated?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then from this passage, are you encouraged or discouraged? Why?
I think I'm encouraged. I think it's the way of Jesus, what we hear about. You're laughing.
Well, because I my tendency would be to say,
you
oh,
were discouraged?
Mercy. Yeah.
Oh, my, okay.
Say, oh, how can I do this?
How can I do this? It's
That's
too
right.
much.
Yeah.
It's without all, stand with God, all things are possible. So there you go.
That's true.
I do tend to see the world sometimes through rose-colored glasses. But I like the challenge of living more the Jesus way, and I think he's clear here in how he's teaching that. It does seem overwhelming, but it also seems, man, if we could all live more like this, wouldn't the world be a better place?
Yep.
I think that's probably where I get the encouragement.
Oh,
wouldn't the world be a better place? I know you're not disagreeing with that.
No.
But I think maybe the disagreement is in feeling it could feel overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, how, and I live long enough to know if I look at my past, you know, how well have I done
mm-hmm.
with those who have really hurt me?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. Good question. And I'll let that hang there. Last, what does the world say about love? What does Jesus say about love and who to love?
Hmm.
So what does the world say about love? What does Jesus say about love? As he talks here about, certainly, loving your enemies, loving those who mistreat you. Even if others don't love you, you love them. And that's an active kind of love.
No, it surely is. And in that regard, I'm reminded of John's gospel where Jesus says, no one has greater love than this, than that he lay down his life for his
absolutely.
Friends.
Absolutely. All right. I think I'll end us out on prayer. Does that sound good?
Sounds very
okay,
good.
Well, let's pray. God, what a joy it is to go through the Gospel of Luke again. Lord, even through this challenging passage, help us to be people of love, even in those really hard places in our lives, maybe when we see someone else that we feel is messing up, that they have a speck in their eye, or it maybe even looks like a plank or a log in their own eye. Help us to love them. Help us not to be judgmental, but instead to love those sometimes for whom for us it is difficult to love. So help us in that way to be more like you as we continue to read the Gospel of Luke, and may each piece kind of build on the last piece as we try to be your followers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good to be together.
Good to be together. We'll see you next time.
Yep. Bye for now.